Hare Krishna. So I may just, because I'm going to go, because I'm meant to be 19. So I'll just say what the translation is, then I'll go back a page, if that's okay. Unless Krishna really wants me to do this today. I'm not prepared for this one, but anyway. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. That was the translation. So I'll just go to text 19. I'll say the Sanskrit, and then we can do word for word. When the son of the Brahmins, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra nuclear weapon. So purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the ultimate issue only, when there is no alternative, the nuclear weapon called the Brahmastra is applied. The word Dvijatmaja is significant here because Ashwatthama, although the son of Dronacharya, was not exactly a qualified Brahmana. The most intelligent man is called a Brahmana, and it is not a hereditary title. Ashwatthama was also formerly called the Brahma Bandhu, or the friend of a Brahmana. Being a friend of a Brahmana does not mean that one is a Brahmana by qualification. A friend or a son of a Brahmana, when fully qualified, can be called a Brahmana and not otherwise. Since Ashwatthama's decision is immature, he is purposefully called herein the son of a Brahmana. Translation again. When the son of the Brahmana, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra, nuclear weapon. Om Agina Taramanda Shah Ganangana Salaikaya Shakshahumalitam Yina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Jaitanya Manambhistam Stabitam Yina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamai Ham Badanti Swabadanti Kam Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Guradha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's always some great lessons to learn if we really look at it deeply, looking between the lines. In this case, this seventh chapter, the son of Drona punished, the Ashwatthama is in quite a bad situation. He's, if anything we're learning from this is not to be like him, is not to do what he's doing and go down that road. Better to be like Arjuna, of course. So a little summary on the build up to this is after the Battle of Kurukshetra, the Duryodhan, he becomes very upset with the situation. He's just seen all his army get annihilated, and he's seen Karna, his best friend, defeated on the battlefield, and so he goes away, and he goes and hides in a lake, and through his mystical potency, he goes to the bottom of the lake, but as he's hiding there, Yudhisthira and the Pandavas are going to look for him to sort out the end of the battle. And some nice, fishermen and stuff that they know Yudhisthira is a king. They point that there's someone hiding in that lake, you know. So they find him. And so Bhima calls him out, you know, are you in there? Come out. You know, we've got some issues to settle. So then Duryodhan answers the call, and they come and they have a battle. Cut a long story short, of course, we understand that Duryodhan gets a low blow to the thigh, and he becomes disabled. Even though he's probably a little bit faster than Bhima and a little bit more skillful, and he's trained by Lord Balaram, you know, he's got a good guru there. And Bhima is manages to, through the help of Lord Krishna, and also, as we know, the story of Duryodhan, he's got a weak point around his waist. That's another story, otherwise I'll take going into one story to another. And at a certain point, because he's one of the reasons, because he slapped his thigh in front of Draupadi when she's being disrobed, thought he could get away with his moment of glory, his left thigh. Bhima vowed, he said, that left thigh, he said, I'll break it. And if I have to die, that would be my vow. And so at a certain point when they're fighting, it's going on for a long time, becomes very stalemate. And each time Bhima's hitting Duryodhan, because he's impenetrable, he's not feeling any pain. And then at a certain point, Krishna catches his eye. I just imagine that Duryodhan's got his back to Krishna at that point, and Krishna's slapping his thigh there, go for a low blow. So then, bang, drops him. And so then Duryodhan's laying there. He's laying there in some blood, and he's very uncomfortable. Everyone's gone now. He's just there on his own, you know, and he's got time to think. So probably at the start of that, he's feeling a bit upset. He's really frustrated. So at that moment, on the scene come Ashwatthama and Kripacharya and Kritvarma, the three warriors, and they are very distraught. They see, you know, Duryodhan led there, their king, you know, their leader, and they see him in pain. So they become very sad, and Ashwatthama vows to avenge what's happened. He says, Duryodhan, I'll help you. I'm going to go and kill the Pandavas. I'm really upset about this whole situation. But deep inside, he was also quite upset about his father's death as well. Dronacharya, that was, in his eyes, was unlawfully, in some ways, slain on the battlefield. Ashwatthama's seeing that, you know, his father was killed. Bhishma was killed on the battlefield through, he thinks, cheating propensities by Shakundi standing in front of Arjuna. And then there's the case now where Bhima's broken his master's thigh through a low blow. But the thing is with Ashwatthama's mentality, because he's thinking all these bad things they've done to me and us, he's not thinking about the bad things we've done to the Pandavas. This is the nature of a demoniac nature, as it explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, divine and demoniac natures. And you know, there's only three translations at the beginning of the divine natures, then the rest is all demoniac natures for the conditioned soul. So Ashwatthama's not thinking about the time that Abhimanyu broke through the Chaturvyuha, and he couldn't find his way out, and there was nine Maharathis all attacked him at the same time. You know, and the time Pandavas were burnt, they tried to burn him to death in the house of Lakh. They tried to poison Bhima. It goes on and on what they were doing. They disrobed Draupadi. So Ashwatthama's not thinking what we've done to them. He's just thinking what they've done to me. So he's, poor me, you know, I'm the victim. So he says, I vow to go and kill those Pandavas. And so then Duryodhan, at the interim stage of his wounds, he's sort of there, and he wants revenge. He says, that's a good idea. I feel you put a smile on my face for a moment. Bring some water, Kripacharya. Bring water. I'll inaugurate him as the general, the leader of the force. The battle still goes on. So he gives Ashwatthama leadership, and he gets inaugurated, that they leave. They leave to go on a mission, and that they go towards the Pandava camp. By this time, you know, the sun's going down. You know, it's night's coming, and they settle down, you know, in earshot of the Pandava camp. They can hear the Pandavas celebrating victory, and they settle down under this big banyan tree. And Kripacharya and and Kritvarma, they're so tired, they just fall straight asleep. But Ashwatthama, as we know the story, he's laying there, and he can't sleep because he's so charged up for revenge and making a plan. And he looks up into the tree, and this is the bit where he sees all the crows. All the crows are sleeping in the top of the banyan tree. And he's just half nodding off. And then he sees this owl swoop in. This owl comes on the branch, and then quietly, the owl, he bites their necks, and he about six of them drop off the tree. He literally, you know, kills them where they're sleeping, and the rest of them, they just flutter up and run for their lives. And then at that point, that's when Ashwatthama says to himself, wow, I've got a really good idea. That's a sign. That's something, you know, this is a sign. So he wakes up the other warriors, but they're not, they want to go in on dawn time, you know, just to call them out at dawn, just as the sun's rising, like a Vedic principle. Are you ready for battle? We'll meet. And this time Ashwatthama explains, you know, we won't be able to win this. There's only three of us. And I've got a brilliant idea. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Gaurani Taiki. So, anyway, just going for a summary, you know, we've probably heard this story many times, so he gets them to come to assist him, and they don't really want to do it, but they try to talk him out of it, but he's so charged up, they just let him get on with it. So Kripacharya and Kritvarma make the vow that, look, we'll help you, but we're not going to come in and fight. We're just going to stand on the gates. Anyone that comes out of there, that's when we'll use our bows. And at the point when Ashwatthama rides ahead on his horse, as he's riding ahead, he's just towards the Pandava camp. He sees this figure, as we know, and he's got a snake around his neck. He's got a loincloth covered in blood. He's got a tiger skin on his back. And he's so beyond fear now. He just shoots his arrows into him. He's shooting all his astras. Who's this in front of me? Bang, bang. He's shooting him with lots of arrows. But the figure's just swallowing them up, you know. My goodness. And he throws everything he's got, his most powerful weapons. And then at a certain point, he thinks, this must be Lord Shiva. So he jumps off his horse and he just pays dandavats. And at that point, Lord Shiva gives him some blessings, because he's actually a devotee of Lord Shiva, Ashwatthama. And out of all these bad things that he's done, and he's going on a real bad course, because to actually want to kill children or just before adults, you know, less in the night where they're sleeping warriors, this is like the worst act ever. You don't even hear this a lot. I mean, these days it's nothing's new. Anything goes. But this is also considered really bad these days. But back then it was unbelievable. It was a real bad act. But through Krishna's sanction, these sons of Draupadi and these Pandavas that were in the camp, they'd already done their duty as fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and it was time to wind up the pastimes and come back and see Krishna. So Lord Shiva, he hands him this sword, this empowered sword. It's got all Shiva's Shakti. And so Ashwatthama takes the sword and it just goes through his whole body, and he feels superhuman. So he runs in the camp, as we know. The first tent he goes to, he tries to find the killer of his father, Drishtadyumna. He kills Drishtadyumna. He doesn't even use a sword. He just uses his feet, but it's an awful death. I won't go into that. And then he goes and finds Shikundi, because he's responsible for Bhishma's death. Not death, but Bhishma's falling on the battlefield. Then he runs in, and he thinks it's the five Pandavas. So he kills them in their sleep, and then he beheads them, and he puts them in a sack, and he comes running out after that. All the men are running hither and thither, and it's a terrible scene. Meanwhile, this is all going on. When Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, they reach the Duryodhan's camp in this, you know, they'd no one was there, everyone's gone, it's all deserted. And Krishna said to Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, he said, it's the custom for the winners of the fight to spend the night in the camp of the you know, of the losing party. So you should spend the night here. So they were already put into safety. They weren't sleeping in the Pandava camp. Krishna was already protecting them. So at this point, Ashwatthama comes running back with this sack of heads, and you know, he comes back to where Duryodhan's laying. By this time, Duryodhan's, you know, he's really laid back. He's just up on his elbow. He's so uncomfortable and he's thinking. But these few hours that have passed, these hours are amazing hours, because they're, time has its toll on everyone, doesn't it? Time, I mean, when you're dying, probably a few minutes seem like a few hours, because you've got repentance and regret and maybe remorse and faults and reality checks going on. And I'm sure at this point, I don't want to speculate too much, he's had a real change of, a little bit of a change of heart due to time and due to death coming close. So as Ashwatthama reaches him, he feels so sorry for him, because he can see he's just laying there, and he thinks there was that time when he was, you know, was a great king, or, well, he wasn't really a great king, but he was, to him he was a good ruler. Because that's the thing, this is where Ashwatthama's gone really wrong. He's through bad association. That's why he went down this road. When he was a young boy, he was friends with Duryodhan, and Duryodhan had swayed him in easy. You know, he said, look, you know, we're friends. You know, I'm probably going to be the king. We should stay friends. It'll go good. So obviously Ashwatthama's thinking, yeah. And he's not, because his father, Dronacharya, is not only his father, but it was his guru. And he told him, he said to him, Duryodhan's okay, but you want to try and hang out with the Pandavas. You want to try and get their association. Because he loved his son so much, which is understandable. And he was always trying to sway Ashwatthama towards the Pandavas association, but he couldn't hear properly. He didn't go for it. And this is why he went down this road. And this is why everything's starting to fall apart around him. It's going in a real dark area. So, and he looks around, back to the point, there's Duryodhan, he's laying down, and he says, "At this, you know, my lord, he was surrounded by all servants and all friends, and he was the main man. And look at him now, he's just led there in blood, no one around. The only people that, the crowd around him are the jackals and the vultures. They're waiting to come down and eat him." So he says, "I'll cheer him up." He brings him over the sack of heads, and he says, "Look, I've brought the Pandava heads, you know, and..." And Duryodhan says, "That's amazing. I can't believe you brought the heads, because it took millions of us to try and kill the Pandavas, and you've just gone out, three of you, and you've brought back these heads." And at this point, I think at some point, Ashwatthama knew that these were the sons in the end. He made a bit of a mistake. These were the sons of the Pandavas. So what he'd done, I'm still going to try and pull it off anyway. I'll give him Bhima's son's head, Satoshana. I forgot his name. It's all covered in blood. He said, this is Bhima, your archenemy. Take his head. He went, wow. He goes, it looks like, this was Duryodhan. He said, it looks like Bhima. But he's not silly, see, Duryodhan. He's clever. And he clasped his hands, didn't he? And he put his hands around his head. And he just, and he crushed his head. And he said, this is not Bhima. This is his children. His head was like iron. I would have never been able to crush it. He says, "What have you done?" Now it's starting to backfire again on Ashwatthama. He's even upset his leader, his king. He says, "These are the sons of, you know, of the Pandavas, and they're our next. They're in charge of the future of the world. They're the lineage of mankind, you know, for the future." So, and you've just killed them all. How are we going to carry on? You know, how's it all going to go? And then Ashwatthama becomes upset. Of course, he realizes he's made a big mistake. And Duryodhan says, "Look, just go away. It's too much." And then Duryodhan says, anyway, if the Vedas are true, thank you, Hare Krishna. You know, if the Vedas are true, I'll attain the heavens. You know, so I'm just going to go and die now. So then he goes to leave his body. And, at this point, that's when, at this point is where, you know, Yudhisthira's back at Duryodhan's camp. They're just about to have a bit of breakfast, and he hears this commotion. There's lots of commotion outside. There's all sorts going on. So he says, "What's going on?" And They said, someone's out there, they're screaming, and all he can hear is, they're all dead, they're all dead, they're all... Bring him in, bring him in. So he brings in this man who's in a terrible way, and Bhima recognizes him. It's actually one of the cooks. And he says, what's happened, Yudhisthira? He said, just be calm, tell me. He says, I was sent out to get wood in the middle of the night for the next morning's breakfast, and I stayed out there. I could hear screaming from the camp, and I just seen all the warriors being killed by these Kauravas. He says, they're all gone, they're all gone. At this point, that's when Draupadi stands up, and she, my sons, you know, they're, are they dead? My five sons? And he just looks at the floor, so she knows that their sons have been killed. And at this point, Arjuna says, dear lady, I will go now, and I will bring back the head of this culprit, and you can, after we've burnt the bodies of our sons, you can stand on his head and take shower. And he asks Yudhisthira if he can leave, and Yudhisthira gives him blessings, and then our Krishna leaves behind Arjuna. So then they get on the chariot, and this is the point when, back to the 19, you know, when the son of the Brahman, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra, nuclear weapon. So, yeah, at this point, this is when Duryodhan, when he left his body, Ashwatthama quickly, well, I'm in a lot of trouble now. He gets on his chariot, so he starts to run, ride like the wind to get away. And mystically, when he's riding, he looks around and he can see Arjuna and Krishna closing in on him. And I suppose for a devotee in that situation, not that he would do that far, but he would have to surrender. He would know that there's no point getting away. Just take what's coming. Dear Lord, whatever you got, give it. I surrender unto you, you know. But Ashwatthama is still going down a long, dark road, you know, and he's trying to get away. And his horses, he's whipping his horses so much because he's frantic and he can't think, his intelligence is lost. As it explains in Bhagavad Gita, you know, 262, that because of his, you know, attachment to his father and trying to get revenge, you know, whilst contemplating the object of the senses, one gets attachment. From attachment is lust. Lust comes anger. Anger comes bewilderment of memory. Then you get delusion. Then from delusion, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, you're down in the material pool. So he's down in that material pool. He's got nowhere to... There is. Krishna's there. He's ready for him to surrender and take what's coming, but he's still making it really difficult. This is a bit like us in life sometimes. I find it myself. I'm always sort of running from Krishna a little bit and trying to do my own thing. And then get a few whacked from the material energy, and if you've got, as long as you're chanting, you can, in my state anyway, as long as I'm chanting, I can hopefully have the intelligence to turn towards Krishna and see what Krishna wants in the equation, you know, to get help, you know, because the Lord, tesam sata yuktanam bhajatam priti bhavagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam apiyantete, you know, if you devote yourself to the Lord and you approach him sincerely, he'll give you the intelligence by which to come. And still at this point, Ashwatthama is not clicked. So he whips his horses, he's bang. And he whips them so much that they just collapse. And as they collapse, his chariot hits the back of the horses and he flies straight off his chariot and he flies headlong like a flying dandavat and he's smashed on the floor. But he's so scared, he doesn't go unconscious, he just... And he looks and he still sees Arjuna coming towards him. And at that point is when he calls upon the Brahmastra. And so Prabhupada got three main points, I thought, in this purport is it's an ultimate weapon in the ultimate issue. It, for him, in his world, in his dark world, it was the ultimate issue. But it wasn't to be used, really, because they say Brahma Bandhu, but, you know, he's a friend of a Brahman. He wasn't acting like a Brahman. He wasn't, not that we knock him too much, because Krishna had the arrangement for him to go this far, probably. But he wasn't even being a Kshatriya, because when he released that Brahmastra, it was so dangerous that he was just thinking of his own life. He wasn't thinking of how it's going to cause problems for others. And he also, it says he made an immature decision. The immaturities within, he only knew half the mantra. He only knew how to throw it. Because Dronacharya, his father, gave him that mantra. Gave Arjuna the mantra for the Brahmastra. Because Arjuna was showing such brilliance in his martial tuition, that he would go out in the middle of the night when everyone was asleep, and he would go out doing target practice in the dark on a dark moon. And one night Dronacharya saw him doing this at night, and he knew Arjuna was going to be the greatest warrior in the world, so he gave him the sanction to take the Brahmastra, how to actually throw it and also how to withdraw it. But Ashwatthama only got the, somehow or other he overheard, I'm not sure what about the story, but he heard only half of it. His father wouldn't give him the full one, because even though he loved his son very much, he knew he still had, because Dronacharya is a Brahmin himself, he had the intelligence not to give him the full mantra. But at this point, when he throws the Brahmastra, the sky changes color, and Arjuna's coming in on the chariot, and his life hairs start to rise, you know, his hairs go on, and he sees something very devastating. He goes, Krishna, what is that? What's going on? Krishna says, don't you know? That's your weapon, he says. That's the Brahmastra. He says, Krishna says, and he says, you better throw yours now. And Arjuna's sort of like, well, if I throw mine, and that, there's going to be an amazing explosion. He says, no, what you do, you throw your weapon, and then within a moment that it lands, before the radiation explodes, you chant your mantra to withdraw it. Your timing has to be precise. So that's when, luckily, Arjuna throws his weapon, listens to Krishna's instruction, withdraws the weapon. And then, at that point, Ashwatthama's left defenseless. He just gets up and runs to the forest. And, Arjuna's a faster runner, so he runs behind him, takes him down, gives him a good hiding, beats him a little bit senseless, drags him, puts him on a chariot, bounds him up, takes him back to Draupadi. This is later on. But Prabhupada explains that the ultimate issue this shouldn't be used unless it's the ultimate issue. Prabhupada, which was very interesting, in his lecture on this, he said Hitler had this power, this nuclear power, but he didn't use it. But he said then America took it and they threw it on Japan. So you know, you got to make a mature decision when you've got this weaponry at hand. And, I've gone through quite a few parts of the story there. I was trying to, put in a bit of philosophy as well at the same time. And it's just gone 8:30. So, I could go on, but I'm not going to carry on too much. Has anyone got any, questions or comments or,